Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 30th of December, recording at 5:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today to date on what is, of course, the last trading day of the year. Asian stock markets were mostly higher, including China. The European stock markets, again, this is all in light volume, as you would expect. The European stock markets have all closed with moderate gains, a number of them over 1%, less for the UK index. The Americas currently showing modest gains for Canada, Mexico, and Brazil. Wall Street's just a fraction lower at this time, but we're talking about flat to less than 0.25%. Long-dated government bond prices are, for the most part, quietly steady. The U.S. dollar has given up some ground today. The euro has bounced back up to 129.72, and sterling's bounced back up to 155.29. The Aussie is up to 102.51. It's been a bounce back day for precious metals. Gold is currently just under $1,575. That's up over $28. Platinum currently is up $30 to $13.97 and change. We see strong gains on palladium, $6.55. It's up 31. And silver's up 94 cents at $28.25. Industrial metals are mostly firmer. We have copper trading at $3.44. Crude oil a fraction easier, 99.56 for the WTI. Grain and bean complex, they've been good in the last 2 weeks, and they're up again here today, including good run in rough rice, which is up to $14.81. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the year is ending quietly, no great surprise. It's been a very tough year, as you know. In terms of stock markets, we currently have the Dow and the S&P, the latter just showing up in the plus column for the year. We also have the Philippines and Indonesia, which led Asia and closed the year with gains. The U.S. pattern is really quite interesting, and actually a number of the patterns are really quite interesting, including most of the European sector. Take German DAX, for instance, take the S&P, the Dow. We have these rising lows, starting with the most important low back in September and October. And then we have a higher low in late November. And then we have a still higher low in mid-December. Now, Wall Street in particular would have to take out both the mid-December higher low and also the somewhat lower late November higher low to swing this pattern from somewhat promising back clearly to negative. Take out the last two lows that I mentioned, and It will tend to reaffirm the overall downward trend, and everybody will be looking for at least a test of the September and October lows. But that hasn't happened. And if we get more of these indices following the S&P and creeping up above their 200-day moving averages, which are beginning to flatten out, we could be off to a reasonable start. Now, that may sound like a pipe dream, given the year we've just experienced, but it's not all that often that we get stock markets putting together a couple of pretty desultory years in succession. Valuations are quite attractive, and we also have monetary policy, which is accommodative and becoming even more accommodative. Crucially, and I really do mean crucially, Owen and I feel that the euro crisis has passed its nadir. And you've said that before. And we see nothing to change that view. Incrementally, in their own torturous way, making policy on the hoof, arguing publicly in this, well, that's a form of democracy at work, I guess. Although it's the bureaucrats and the politicians who are making all the decisions, not the electorate, under the circumstances. And but they are moving closer to this unification. They are putting in place the austerity measures. The ECB has been very accommodative in terms of lowering interest rates twice, and will probably do so again in January, and also in making money available, making cheap money available to the banks, and also in buying government bonds to help keep a lid on yields. And that's all favorable. So the gradual progress towards the closer fiscal union is actually taking place. The mystery there is how they're actually going to achieve growth. A somewhat weaker euro would actually help. But there's also the possibility that at some point in 2012 we do see Greece and perhaps Portugal leaving the euro. Now, neither country have announced that they might do that, and certainly the German monetary spokesmen have not indicated that this is a possibility. So, as far as the official line is concerned, it's all steady as she goes. I think there would be apprehension about, in terms of widespread apprehension in terms of losing Greece and Portugal from the euro, and they might have to vote themselves out for that to actually take place. But when I say widespread apprehension, because that then opens the door, well, who's next, or is anyone else next? But more importantly, it would produce a stronger euro. And I'm sure China's policymakers would be delighted to see that. It would be showing them the viable reserve currency in Europe that they would actually like to see. And I think it's that desire for an alternative to the US dollar, which has helped to keep the euro somewhat steadier than the overall economic background would otherwise suggest. Interesting. Interesting all that. But I digressed a bit because I was talking about these stock markets, and if we are correct in saying that the euro crisis is past its nadir, then it's not going to remain center stage in terms of global concerns among investors. Now, pushed off to the sidelines, that would leave room for other, presumably less onerous, stories to grab some of the financial headlines. I like the valuations, as I've said before. I also like the returning tailwind that we're getting in terms of monetary policy. That's been accommodative all along, as far as the Western economies are concerned, but it's the growth engines out there, which need the improvement in monetary policy. My fear is that they've left it late, a bit too late, in that causing global GDP growth to slow in those regions more than it would have otherwise. But we will see. Certainly, in terms of stock markets, more or clearer evidence, more persistent evidence of monetary easing and a lessening of inflation pressures would go a long way, I think, to reducing fears and possibly even inviting a return of animal spirits. Meanwhile, the autonomies, those quasi-autonomous multinational success, big successful multinational companies, which really have ceased in the last decade or two to be really thought of as domestic companies. They're global players and doing very successfully. A number of them are dividend aristocrats. That's been the area that has really been in form. And that is one trend that I would expect to carry on into 2012. And I think that will remain the case until either they do too well, accelerate upwards from their moving averages, become clearly overextended, as a few of them have, but not many. Or we see a shift of interest and we get bargain hunting as animal spirits improve and people look for medium to smaller cap recovery candidates. I think that's out there somewhere in 2012's overall performance. And then there's the hugely important US presidential election. Now, I try not to make too many political comments, but this is going to certainly have an influence on US economic policy. And presumably, we will know in the next 2 to 3 months which candidate is going to be the Republican nominee. Now, my feeling is most of their candidates are unelectable. They may be beloved by the Tea Party and Fox News, but that's I think this election's going to be won from the middle or lost from the right. And you may think for better or for worse, so well, fair enough. But I think the result would be interesting in terms of the steering of US economic policy. And my feeling is that if the Democrats win again, then probably the US policies resemble a little bit more closely the overall European welfare state, for better or for worse. On the other hand, if you get a moderate Republican candidate who I think would perhaps be electable and is elected, and then I think we'll see a more robust form of capitalism and an attempt to sprint out from under the debt mountain by reviving GDP growth. Now, there's an interesting aside. As you know, the Republicans have a majority in the House of Representatives as of the midterm elections, and the Senate, I beg your pardon, the Democrats still have a majority in the Senate. But of the 33 senatorial seats They're going to be contested in 2012. Of those 33 seats, 23 of them are held by Democrats. So a Republican win in the presidential election could retain the House of Representatives and also take the Senate, making it easier to implement policy, whereas we could not be assured that, for better or for worse, again, that the Democrat party would control the House, very unlikely to control the Senate, even if Democrats win. I suppose if you had an overwhelming landslide, then that would be the case. But I think there will only be an overwhelming victory if the Republicans nominate a right-wing candidate beloved of the Tea Party and Fox News. Well, forgive that digression there as an indulgence here prior to the year end, but I am fascinated by it. But we'll try to keep partisan feelings in check, and I know I'm a distant observer from my perch here in London, but I look forward to reading about it more and hearing more about it from you. Now, elsewhere, this dollar, I think that again, it's going to continue to take its cue from stock markets much of the time, but I think we can say that what I always felt, Owen and I always felt, was a low risk of dollar collapse. Remember, at the beginning of last year, that was, or beginning of this year rather, that was quite a fashionable hypothesis that the U.S. dollar was going to collapse. Well, we never believed that, and actually, the dollar's done extremely well, as you know, enjoying that safe haven status. Now, that status would be diminished by a return of animal spirits to the markets. That would tend to support gold, and it would tend to support the growth economy, stock markets of the growth economies, and also their currencies. So watch for that potential development. And what else to mention here? I feel it'll be a better year for stock markets generally. Crude oil will remain a key variable. I do feel, as I wrote yesterday, that the fundamental background would argue for somewhat lower crude oil prices while the economy, global economies, remains relatively soft. But when we get anything remotely close to a synchronized global economic expansion, and in a best case scenario, I would not see that, and I would not envisage that until late in 2012 at the very best. But that would certainly put upward pressure on the crude oil price, in my opinion, and also the prices of many other commodities. But I don't feel, as I've already said, that that's a near-term threat. What I forgot to mention is that with a Republican victory, I think that we would see in the presidential election, I think we would see quite an aggressive push to develop all known existing U.S. gas and oil reserves. So that's pretty much the way I see it here overall. So probably this is the moment that I should once again wish you a very happy, healthy, peaceful, and prosperous New Year. It's been a real privilege to produce this service on your behalf. And Owen and I look forward to doing it all over again next year. All the best.